Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and joining me today, another three podcasters. We've got four freaking people once again. First up, Evan Birchfield is back.
Hello, everyone.
By popular demand.
I have a petition to change his name to Evan Bitchfield.
That's what I called him in last week's news post. I don't know if he noticed.
See?
I noticed, and I'm suing you for libel.
But yeah, actually, a lot of people were really enjoying Evan coming back, so he's back again. Boosting
yeah.
the ratings once again.
I'm like the new Coke.
For. The new Coke.
That's what I am.
You're like Spider-Man's black suit. First they bring it in, everyone hates it. Then they start to make plans to get rid of it. And after they've already started the storyline to get rid of it, the tide turns and people start to love it.
Yep.
So then they have to salvage some way to keep it in the story, even though they've already started to get rid of it.
Yeah, I actually like that metaphor. Evan. I like that metaphor a lot.
That's our... Evan, maybe, like, you should join with some kind of symbiotic alien and turn into...
Well, you know what? I was making out with my girlfriend on a spider web out in the woods, and a meteor did land right next to us, conveniently, so that can totally happen.
Spoiler alert. Anyway.
That's not convenience, that's fate. Deal.
And that other voice you just heard was Jonathan Metz, our reviews editor.
I'm a big Spider-Man nerd. I'm a big nerd. You can just fill in the blank in front of that word.
And last up is Mike Sklens.
Hello, everybody.
That other dude. And we've got lots and lots to discuss. It's going to be a packed show, so let's start with what we've been playing. And Evan, you said you were playing some stuff, including PS2 stuff, so
mm-hmm.
go into that.
Yeah. Well, I'm always late to the party. That's kind of the rule for me. So the thing I'm late to the party on that's not too late, actually, is Pokemon on the DS, which I'm getting into finally. But I'm also late to God of War on the PS2, surprisingly good. And Final Fantasy XII, which I talked about last time, but Final Fantasy XII is really impressing me even more as I get into it because of how complex it is. It does remind me of massively multiplayer RPGs, and I think that's a good thing. The way the world works and the way that it doesn't feel like an outlandish Final Fantasy game. It actually feels like a pretty cohesive world. I like that. God of War does the same thing because there's no loading. Everywhere you go in God of War is you're just a part of the world, and it's this big, you're in this big Grecian world, and you don't leave it, so.
Very nice.
You said Grecian. That's a hair formula.
Okay. But I like God of War. Even though the battle's a little simplistic, the battle dynamics are a little simplistic in God of War, it's still pretty good.
Okay, well, what about you, Johnny? What are you playing?
Oh, let's see. I finished up both of the Spider-Man games for Wii and DS.
I know, I edited
them.
The
DS one's better. Yeah, thank you, by the way. So those reviews are up. And I've been playing a lot of Super Paper Mario, finally picking that back up after a string of other games that distracted me. So I'm getting near the end of that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it, although I did crash it. I think
nice.
I should get an award for crashing a first-party Nintendo game.
Oh, hey, Johnny, so did I. I did, too.
I was fighting a boss in Chapter 5-3, and right as I dealt the killing blow to him, I got a level up, and then once I pressed a button to get past the level up screen, the Mario fell to the ground, and the boss just kept jumping up and down and waving his fists, and I had no control over the game whatsoever, and he just kept I let it sit there for like 15 minutes.
Wow.
The boss was just jumping up and down. I finally had to turn it off and replay about 10 minutes worth.
Wow. I've heard of other people. I've heard of other people crashing Super Paper Mario 2. I had mine just freeze up on me, so it's kind of weird that it's been in development so long, and yet it's got these weird glitches that cause you to turn it off.
Well, you know, things always kind of pass through every once in a while.
That still happens to me on my Wii menus every now and then. Something will just hang and won't load up.
Yeah.
The other, actually, that segues into something else I was playing. I had some friends come over Thursday night. And this doesn't happen very often, but I had like a big group of people over, and they all wanted to play Wii. So we played like, I don't know, 30 minutes of WarioWare, and everybody had fun with that. But like, if you have a small apartment and you have like 7 or 8 people trying to play that, it gets to be really crazy.
I can
you're running around
that.
And stepping on each other, and people are like standing in front of each other.
I have to move my coffee table out of the way if I want to do that with a bunch of people.
I'd, Exactly. I had to do the same. And I think the only problem with it is that a lot of the games have the, you know, the remote control type stance where it actually uses the infrared sensor, the pointing function. And the mm-hmm. problem there is that if you have a lot of people grouped together, you have to get right in front of the TV in order to play those games.
Yeah.
So a lot of the games you can be standing way over to the side, no problem. But some of them, and you kind of have to know which ones from having played the game enough. But some of them you have to run over right in front of the TV or it won't pick it up.
That's a fault in the design, I think.
It is, because people don't, you know, people who've never played Wii before come over and they play this game with me and they're like, why won't this game work?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you have to point it, you know, and they're like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, I know. It sucks.
Sorry.
But we also played Wii Sports, and actually when I first put in Wii Sports, we went to the disc channel or whatever it's called and sat there and waited and waited and waited, and that finally, after like 2 minutes of waiting for the game to load, I just had to hit the power button on the system and turn it back on. And it finally loaded up the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
weird. Mean, Wii just is buggy like that. The whole firmware, the whole channel system and everything, like, it gets hung up on things, and a lot of times for me, I can't connect to the servers, even though I'm using the officially licensed USB Wi-Fi adapter, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. That thing's a piece of crap.
It kind of is, but it works with my DS and my Wii, so until I get, like, a 360 with a wireless module or something like that, you know, it serves my purposes for Wi-Fi in the apartment.
Sure.
I've been playing a very little bit of Pokemon. I finally picked that back up, and hopefully I'm going to make some progress on it.
Cool.
I think that's all.
And, Mike, this is your first time on since you got into the Halo 3 beta. So
yeah,
go ahead and
the
talk
Halo
about
3
it.
Beta, I've just been playing that. I've been playing, I picked up ActRaiser today. I guess for the listeners, we've started recording these on Mondays now, so we can bring you more timely virtual console coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So I've played a little bit of that today, but apart from that, I've basically been playing the Halo 3 beta exclusively because I only have a limited time with it.
And how do you like it?
It's good. I mean, it's just like Halo 2 refined to like the next level, basically.
Yeah. I've been playing a little bit of it too, because I have a friend who's got it, and the graphics are nice. Reloading, the buttons are a little different. You've got items. It's just, but it's still the same game, and I like that about it. It's just really, really pumped up. And worlds are bigger. There's those cool motorcycle, but they're four wheels. ATVs. What are those called? Yeah, Among those are fun. Yeah. So yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Useless.
Yeah, because you can't shoot a gun from them. But Halo's, it really impacted our culture and the way video games work. And I think it's great that that such a great game is on a system aside. That such a polished game is on a system that's not Nintendo, because we need that. Not only do we need that competition, and so far Microsoft's always been the king of first person shooters for a long time, but it's something that you don't see Nintendo doing, and you wouldn't see Nintendo do.
But you know what I like is that the online, like the matchmaking and the whole online experience, is pretty much like ridiculously awesome for Halo 3. It's so perfect. Like, everything is exactly the way it should be. It's easy to find your friends. You can see exactly what your friends are doing. You got a new veto system. Yeah, you can veto.
That's cool.
You can veto a map if you don't like it, and then you're forced to play the next map no matter what. But if, like, the group decides that they don't want to play a map, you can just veto it entirely.
You mean there are no friend codes?
No, of course. It's all tied to your gamer tag.
It's kind of a new concept to Johnny.
How that could work. Without that. How do you know who your friends are if you don't put in a 12-digit password?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Johnny, the sad thing is that when you get onto Halo 3 online, you have to hear all kinds of 13-year-olds say all kinds of words that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, but you know what? Even that, Bungie made it like really, really, really easy to mute people.
Yeah.
It's like two buttons and you mute anybody.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is nice.
Yeah. Is that you can save like video replays of your best games and send them to your friends. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff going on and they're light years beyond basically anybody else's online experience.
Wow, yeah. So now the entire world can see you teabagging some random guy.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Crouch.
Let's keep this PG.
Well, as for what I've been playing, I've actually been playing a little of a lot, I guess you could say. I've downloaded three new games on my off of Virtual Console. I got Ninja Spirit, which is a game we talked about a few weeks ago, and it's good. It's actually really good. What I like about it the most is that it kind of delivers that you know, it's in 2D and it's side-scrolling, so you wouldn't really expect too much of it as far as animation or acrobatics go. But actually, you can, like, jump 80 feet in the air in that game. It's fantastic. You can slash in four different directions. Like, you can send, like, the wind slashes off your blade to hit people. It's really, really cool. It's really stylized and looks great. So
I don't know I don't know anything about this game you're talking about, but am I the only one who thinks it's dumb when in a game you can jump and then use your weapon in the air and it slows your descent or just makes you stop altogether? Because it did that. I don't care. I'm changing the subject. Okay. I hate that.
Okay.
I hate that because God of War does that, and it reminds me of Shadow the Hedgehog because they do that too. It's like you jump in the air and Shadow will hold in the air and you'll fire a gun.
I think it's probably an artifact of the way the animations are sequenced together.
Probably.
Like the engine that they've got can't handle two animations at the same time.
I'm sure they were using a dedicated
God of War
engine.
Is put together, I think that's exactly what the
Well,
is.
I think
the
it's
animations are very canned.
I think it's a throwback to Bullet Time. I think what they're trying to do is capture a moment where you can be like frozen in time but still moving at high speed. That's what I think. I think it's a stylistic choice.
I think it has more to do with the fact that the games aren't running dedicated physics engines. Because I know I've been playing Crackdown on my 360, and it's got a dedicated physics engine built into it, and if I'm shooting in midair, I don't slow down at all. I just fall and shoot at the same time.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about actually freezing, like stopping in the air.
Right, what I'm saying is that because the game can't process the regular graphics and the physics at the same time.
I don't know. I've played too many games where it doesn't happen for me to believe that it's just a hardware or software thing. But either way, it's one of those dumb things that just grates me. So
anyway, so other things I've been playing.
Back to Carl.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, a little derailed there. But I also got Super Mario Brothers, but begrudgingly so. See, the thing is, whenever people come over to my house and they want to play Wii or whatever, and I explain to them what Virtual Console is, they're always like, well, what's the point of that? It's like, well, you can download these classic Nintendo games. And they're like, well, like what? And you really can't say, oh, well, you know, like...
Like Ninja Spirit.
Like Ninja Spirit or Sword of Vermillion, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
That doesn't really get the point across.
Yeah.
So I figure having Super Mario Brothers there, it's really just a way to say, well, you can play Super Mario Brothers. And they're like, oh, and they instantly get it. So that's $5 I just made for convenience.
I have found the same thing to be true. Like, when people come over and they see Wii and I want to show them anything, or actually, even if we're just looking at the channels and I'm going to load up whatever disc is in there and they see Super Mario Brothers on the channels because I keep it on the front page, they want to see it. I mean, they don't really care that it's 20 years old. They want to play it right then.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I really think it's worth $5 to have it there for people to come over. Like, mm-hmm. one of the best times I ever had with Virtual Console, I had a couple friends over, and they watched me play through the entire game, and they were mesmerized. Apparently, they thought I was really good at it, and I'm not compared to other people I know. But, you know, I can play through the game, and they were just complete, and they were all into it, like jump, jump, you know, and no, don't go there, stop.
Yeah.
So it was amazingly fun. They didn't even want to play two player; they just wanted to watch me play.
Unlike you guys, I'm not pushed around by my friends, so I haven't bought it yet.
More like, well, unlike us, you don't have friends. Oh.
Oh. Ouch.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ouch. That sucks. Snap. I forgot about that. That's why I have to try and call online and say, please trade Pokemon with me, please. I don't have any friends to do it with in real life.
and then the last Virtual Console game I got was today, and I got ActRaiser. And it's good. I like it. I kind of stole it away from Johnny. He was going to be doing the Virtual Console review of it, I think. And I basically got online first and got it before he did, so burn, East Coast!
It's cool, man. I mean, you know, it'll be fun to have some fresh eyes on it.
Yeah.
But if you don't give it a recommended for everyone, I will choke you.
I like it so far. I'm not, you know...
But you
I don't think it's incredible.
Carl, we were talking about it earlier, and you don't even really know what it's about yet, because you're talking about how it's all this side-scrolling action game, and it's definitely...
Yeah.
I love the journalistic integrity that we have here, where Johnny's like, you had better give it this score.
I'm just telling him like it is.
I wish I could have said something to you about Mystical Ninja, but whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, but see, I don't have to do what you say, Evan.
Oh, but we have to do what you say? Ah.
What were you saying, Mike, about
I was saying, there were a couple times when, because everyone talks about how good ActRaiser is, there were a couple of times when I tried to get into it through some less than legal means, And I never really got past, like, I beat that first, like, platforming level where you fight the centaur, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then it goes into this, like, really, you know, totally, completely different SimCity-style game, and I had no clue what to do because there was no documentation, and it was just, I don't know, it was, for some reason, I just couldn't comprehend it, but I had no problem with it today, and I really enjoy the whole SimCity aspect of it, actually.
In my opinion, the SimCity part, the simulation part, is the main part of the game, and the action sequences are just a good way to break up, you know, to give a little variety to
it.
They get
harder, though,
right?
To me,
the action parts are almost like a mini game.
They get harder, though, right? Because the first town, I cleared that.
They get
like,
much
really,
harder.
Really, really quickly.
Yeah, they get much harder because it's a combination of the little demons that you have to fight with the angel get to be a lot more difficult, and they do nastier things to the villagers, and it becomes very difficult to manage combating all those things with actually improving the village and actually doing the simulation part of it. So it starts to get to be kind of an interesting struggle between those two things. And then also, the terrain gets to be more difficult. Like, you have to do more stuff, and you have to use more expensive miracles in order to clear the land out and actually get your people to build on it. So, and even some of the demon lairs are really hard to get to, because the way you get rid of those, I mean, you can kill demons all day long, but they'll pretty much never, ever run out. They just keep spawning out of that thing. So the way you eventually shut it down is you build your civilization all the way out to it. But sometimes the way the levels are designed, it's difficult to get to them. So, yeah, those parts definitely get harder. And the action stages get much harder.
They're already pretty hard to begin with.
Yeah, but you know, you can find all these items during the simulation parts that help you out during the action parts. So they really... They fit together very well, even though they're completely different kinds of gameplay.
It's really cool.
Well, you guys have sold me on it. I'll go download it.
Yeah, it's from what I played so far, it's very cool. So play it.
There just don't let Johnny else like it ever.
Don't let Johnny push you around on the score though, there, Carl.
Well, didn't it have a
I'll
sequel,
give it
though?
What I think it deserves.
Did it have a sequel?
What was that, Mike?
I thought I had a sequel.
I don't know.
Johnny, don't do know. You know?
What?
Didn't ActRaiser have a sequel?
Yeah, I own it. It's in a box somewhere in my attic. But ActRaiser 2 is not really worth playing. The problem is they took out the simulation part, so it's a pure action game, and that is criminal.
Yeah.
But the other and even that I would be okay with if the action parts were like really good, and they are beautiful. I mean, the graphics are some of the best on Super Nintendo by far. They're amazing. And they made the really cool decision to give the character wings. So now he can do a lot of gliding and flying around, and the magic is really interesting. It's almost like Smash Brothers. So you have a certain number of magic points, and the actual spell that you do depends on what position or what direction you're holding when you do it. So, like, if you're just standing there, he does one spell. If you jump up and glide, he does another. If you crouch down, he does a different one. So, like, It becomes like really interesting the way you have to position yourself, but the game is incredibly difficult. I mean, it's like super Ghouls and Ghosts difficult, and it's cool, but it really feels like it's missing something without those simulation things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually been playing more stuff this week, so it goes deeper.
What?
I got two games for a review this week, and they're both licensed games, so I won't go too deep into it. But one of them was the third Naruto like action game on handhelds. It's the first one on DS, and it's all right. The thing about it is that it's mission based. It doesn't really follow the story based on what I've played so far. It's basically just like kill 20 snakes in 2 minutes, and that's extremely annoying. So I'm probably not going to give that a high score.
You better. Johnny's gonna come in and strong arm that. That's a 9.5.
Yeah, it's looking at a 6 right now. And then the other game I got was Shrek the Third on Wii.
Ooh, I bet it's just as good as the movie.
I haven't seen the movie.
The movie's
so
not
funny.
I don't need to see the movie. I saw the second one and I knew where it was going. So
well, actually, no. You see, the thing is that Shrek the Third is nothing like the first two, because there's almost no pop culture jokes, and without those, like, the writers couldn't come up with actual jokes to replace them, so it's really not that funny, except for a couple moments.
Well, What I think you should do is everybody should go revisit the first Shrek movie and try to get your head around why anybody ever thought it was a good movie. Because the masses were fooled.
Moving on.
Shut up, Evan. Anyway, yeah, I'm at the part right now where I just dueled Lance a lot, and it's dumb, and I'm really not having that great of a time with it. So, that ends our What You've Been Playing segment. And we launch right now into segment one, community. First up, like we said, we're going to be doing Virtual Console Mondays up to date now, but we still have last week's to cover. First up last week was Streets of Rage 2 on the Genesis. Got a recommendation for everyone. I played the first one, and it was good. I heard the second one's even better, so...
Yeah.
If you want to pick that up, you probably won't be disappointed. Donkey Kong Country 2, I have played, and it's probably my favorite of the country games.
Easily the best Donkey
Kong really good.
Game. I love number 3 really a lot better, but that's me.
I don't know.
I like 3, but 3 is the only one I ever owned on cartridge.
Wow. Yeah.
I even like the Game Boy port of Donkey Kong Country 2.
Donkey Kong Country it's 2 good. Is, I can sum up Donkey Kong Country 2's superiority, it's because of Dixie Kong, and that is why that game is better.
Yeah, the gliding is awesome.
I'm sorry, you
mean Trixie? I caught a lot of hell for that, because I put Trixie in the VC Mondays article last week.
Yeah. It's one of those weird things where everybody thinks there's a Trixie Kong, and there never was.
No, it's Dixie
ever,
Kong.
Ever.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's always been
wish.
Dixie.
She's the best.
But hey, Mike, you know Dixie is in the third one
as
well.
Yeah, I know, I just never played it. And I heard it wasn't as good overall.
Well, you just said it's by far the best in the series.
And you have nothing to compare to.
That's my opinion.
Okay, dude, seriously, buy the third one on the Virtual Console when it comes out, because in my opinion,
I probably will.
It's
very good.
It's got the greatest aesthetics of them all, for sure, and
also,
the overworld is a huge part of the game, and it's just great.
It's also one of the hardest
the
SNES cartridges
really cool.
to find, because it came out so late in the system's lifespan.
Yeah.
And there's,
oh, maybe my copy is super valuable, and
I don't
sell
think there's
it
ROMs of
it
either,
download.
Because since it came out so late, it had like some of those newer anti-piracy measures built into it. Like Mega Man X3 is impossible to find on Super Nintendo, and none
uh-huh.
of the
and Super Mario RPG is too, and that didn't even come out that late.
Yeah. But,
well, the cool thing about DKC 3 is that, yeah, it's just like Evan said on the overworld for 1 and 2, it's just really linear, you know, and you just have it's kind of like the Super Mario World overworld.
Uh-huh.
You just move from point to point. And every now and then there's like a branch off, but in DKC 3 you actually like move around on the overworlds and
uh-huh.
and you rent vehicles from Funky Kong and they let you like move around and find secret locations on the map and
yeah.
things like that. It's really
cool.
It's a start of the collect-a-thon style Rare games, but it's a really good one. It's like where it's not too hardcore yet. They don't have you collect everything. And it feels some of the levels, and part of the great things about the DKC games has always been good music, good graphics. They really have a great sense of place and location. So when you're in the snow levels, it feels bleak, but when you're in the summery ones, it feels happy and springtime. And so I like that.
We certainly have talked enough about Donkey Kong Country 3.
Yes, the last game from last week was Blazing Lasers on the TurboGrafx-16, and that got a not recommended. And it's not hard to see why. It's a kind of a mediocre shooter on the console, and there are so many of them by now.
Yeah, really.
Well, we got some flack for that, because someone was saying that we shouldn't rate the game lowly because we shouldn't rate it low because just because there's a bunch of shooters on the TurboGrafx.
Well, isn't it not a good game?
But it's,
I don't know who played it.
Supposedly, Wendy played it, and he's the only one who can speak for it. I've heard that it's actually pretty good. I think probably part of the reason that Wendy wasn't bowled over by it is that it's supposedly fairly easy compared to the average vertical shooter. And, you know, Wendy used to be a game tester, and he's played a lot of other shooters, and he probably just thought it was basically holding. I know he mentioned in the write-up that there are more power-ups than there are enemies, and I can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, what's the average vertical shooter? Because
I don't know. Just,
I can't
certainly
get...
you could take an average over all the ones they've put on Virtual Console.
I've downloaded 3 of the vertical and horizontal shooters that they've put on the Virtual Console. I cannot get past the first level on any of them. And
well,
the
Radius
probably...
3 for the win.
Yeah.
You cannot...
Yeah, Radius 3 you can definitely get farther in. That's a good one. It's probably the best one up there anyway.
Yeah.
Wendy is also not really the best person to ask about games, because like especially rhythm games and hardcore like action games like that, because he's got these godlike reflexes, and for whatever like seriously, we try to sit down and play Tetris with him, he just stomp you right away. It would take him about 2 minutes to just completely destroy you in Tetris.
Yeah.
And then Guitar Hero, he'd play it really hardcore. Oh, gosh. And Oenden, he'd be like, oh, that level was really easy, while Daniel Bloodworth was over there sweating in the corner trying to finish it.
Well, yeah.
He's really
that's
good
at for you.
Games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've got some, we've got this week's games, though, and like we already said, ActRaiser, we already talked about it before. It's good.
Get it.
It's awesome.
Pick it up.
Yeah, excellent. It's wonderful. It's not good.
And next up on the list, Kid Chameleon. Evan, you played this on the PS2 like anthology thing.
Uh huh.
Right?
Yeah, it's an old classic. I don't know if the gameplay holds up so much, but it's one of those games that's just it was really cool when it came out because of its just because of its gameplay dynamic. And so can't say too much about it other than that. If you remember it when you were young, it's definitely worthwhile picking up again. I'm gonna leave it to Johnny to say if it's actually a good game.
And I haven't downloaded it yet. I'm going to right after we finish recording.
Okay. Well, and then last up is JJ and Jeff on the TurboGrafx 16.
We'll see about that.
Doesn't the title just make you think of Toe Jam and Earl?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Kind of.
But, I mean, I have no idea what that game's about.
Let me pull up the press release on it, and I will tell you. TurboGrafx 16.
Let's just sit here and wait until Carl finds the press release.
In the meantime, let's trade some Pokemon, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut this out later.
No, you better not.
No, see, the weirdest thing is, whenever they say they're gonna cut it out, they never do. There's this great Eddie Izzard. Eddie Izzard does a great stand-up routine where he's like, "Oh, we'll cut this out," and he says, "But
oh,
wait,
crap.
They never cut it out.
It's on the gaff. I don't even have it in my email. Crap.
Okay, definitely move on. Let's cut to commercial.
No, hold on. You already got it. I might as well just pull it up.
Why don't I just make up a description? JJ and Jeff is a skateboarding game featuring teddy bears and lollipops. It also features a cameo by Yo Noid of Domino's Pizza fame.
You run around and
collect magical scrolls, and then you explore the sewers of Manhattan.
On your skateboard.
Giant mutated frogs.
Okay, this game is sounding really good.
Simultaneous.
Hey guys, right, is there any word on Battletoads coming to the Virtual Console for NES?
I don't know.
Because that game's, it's rare, but that game's awesome.
It was published by Nintendo, so I mean, it probably will at some point. I'm not looking forward to it, because it's just one of those games where you reach a certain point and the game ends there, like halfway through.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, it's one of the hardest games I've ever played, and there's just a certain point where I mean, I can play the game just fine up to a point, and then suddenly it's like a brick wall.
Well, I love that about it. It's hard, and it's got so much variety, and you're always doing stuff, and I just like that.
I like a game that challenges me, but that I can push on through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's so short.
To me, Battletoads is not that.
Well, how far are you getting into it? Are you getting to the racing portion?
Yeah, I think it's the one where you're on the little jet ski.
Yeah, that is pretty tough.
I mean, it's just nasty level design. It's not really fun to me. I never thought that level was fun. It was like, well, if I can get through this, I can maybe enjoy the rest of the game, but I never could get through it.
You need to play it on co-op. It's great.
Well, I don't see how that would help you get through the racing stage, though.
JJ and Jeff, this comical action JJ and Jeff, this comical action game features two bungling detectives, JJ and Jeff, and they travel through a total of 6 fields. One day, a request comes into their office to take a case that requires them to rescue a wealthy man who's been kidnapped and blah, blah, blah. I don't really think this is worth talking about.
No.
So I was pretty close with the description.
Yeah, the skateboarders and the Manhattan sewers and the slimy frogs and the teddy bears.
And the lollipops.
And the lollipops.
And Yonoid.
And Yonoid.
Right.
I actually like that game better, Johnny.
So, yeah, that's our Virtual Console Monday. So we've also got listener mail, guys, and C-Ham says, "Hey guys, first off, I would like to say that I found your podcast at work a few weeks ago, and it makes the day go by a bit faster, so good job, thanks. Last week I finally got a Wii, I love it, but I already started to wonder about the future. Where is Nintendo going to go after the Wii? I have come up with a few scenarios, but I would like to know what you all think." Let's see, and it's kind of a long email, But he basically comes up with three possibilities. First up is the Wii 2, same platform with 360/PS3 level processing and graphics power. I think that's the most likely, honestly. What about you guys?
You think they're going to increase the graphical power of the Wii?
Oh, yeah,
he's
for
saying
sure.
When
why not?
Well, the next. He's talking about the next console.
Yeah.
The next
in like
time.
5 years.
Yeah.
In like 5 years.
Next generation.
Okay. Some people think that Nintendo's going to release like Wii 2.0. And they'll just upgrade it in, like, 2 years, like they always do with the DS and stuff.
So, it'll be Wii 2.0, which means it'll be GameCube 2.5.
That's funny.
All it is, it's just going to be another GameCube that you buy and duct tape onto it.
Yeah, it's like the GameCube ad. It's like, hey, guys, we got another GameCube. You'll hook it up, and you'll have twice the processing power.
Unlock the power of the third GameCube.
It'll be like the expansion pack, except you'll plug in an entire console.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I really do think that's the most likely scenario. Not what we just talked about, but you know, we with 360 PS3 level processing power, just because you know it's going to be a lot cheaper back, you know, by then, so they'll be able to run the whole thing now where it's super cheap. It'll have last gen visuals and it'll work. So.
I think an interesting angle on this is that if Nintendo, you know, in 4 or 5 years releases the next system and it's like Wii with motion controls and things like that, but it has a similar graphic capability to the 360 and PS3, the question will be, what will those systems be doing about that time? Like, I think at that time they're going to be moving more towards what the Wii is doing, because at that point especially, I don't think it'll really benefit them to try to further increase their graphic capabilities by any significant margin.
Well, we've been saying that for years. Johnny, you made a whole huff once about how FMV was going to die because consoles were so powerful. And it has gotten...
well should die.
It's happening.
Well, have you heard what the guys at Insomniac have said? Insomniac, the guys who made Resistance Fall of Man.
Uh-huh.
They're like, well, you couldn't make that for 360 because the DVD-9 won't hold all those hours and hours of high-definition full-motion video. It's like, you know what? Good. It shouldn't. You shouldn't be putting that crap in your game.
Well,
I mean,
I just,
you already have one of the most beautiful game engines known to man. Why are you paying some studio in Hawaii or South Korea to make 30 to 45 minutes worth of in-game footage for you when you could just model that with your animations? It's ridiculous.
In the case of a game like Prince of Persia, where the animations are actually really bad and it's very obviously done by someone who didn't make the game, as compared to Square, where they do it all in-house and they make really beautiful stuff, I'd say that if the team's got the talent for it, and Square has been instrumental at making FMV work with the game, they've done it for all the Final Fantasies I've ever played, so that you're actually sometimes interacting with a full motion world. Final Fantasy XII, they don't have to because the world's fully 3D finally. So to me, it's a valid part of gaming, especially because it still looks better. It still looks better. They're going to keep going until they have a game. They're going to keep going for a long time with graphical enhancement of the consoles. The consoles are not going to stop. I don't see Microsoft and Sony. They will try not something new with Control, maybe, and making their systems more user-friendly.
Guys, the PS2 will make games look like Toy Story.
Well, that's funny. But, you know, I think, though... No, really, I think the prediction that people have been making for 10 years that at some point we're hitting the law of diminishing returns. I don't know if we are or not. Visually, I don't know if we're hitting the law of diminishing returns. But economically, obviously we are. I mean,
sure.
Especially looking at something like the PS3, the technology, the expense that they've put into making that the most graphically capable system has so far turned out to be a very poor decision.
Because it takes too long to program a game that looks as good as it can be.
Well, not only that, but the sheer hardware cost to put in there. So, honestly, I think in 5 years, the PS4 is going to be similar technical capability to the PS3, but it'll be on cheaper chips, stuff that they can actually release at a mass market price. They'll probably find ways to make it easier to program for, and it's going to have more control functionality closer to Wii. Now, that obviously they've already got the 6-axis, but the 6-axis, from what I've heard, not all that great. Doesn't even really compare to the Wii motion control.
Uh-huh.
So I think they're going to start moving, or at least they're going to use the iToy better. They're going to be thinking in terms of the stuff Nintendo is doing, because that's where the money's at right now.
But the problem is, I don't want another generation of games like Wii Sports or Wii Music, where the graphics are so far removed and we're actually not even really playing a game.
Well,
because... to me, narrative is what Sony and Microsoft have been trying to work into games, and narrative includes a fully fleshed out world that looks real and beautiful, whether
it's fantastic
or not.
Sure, but I'm not talking about a step backwards. I'm just saying, at this point, I'm not really sure that they need to take another step forwards in order to be able to tell that kind of story and provide that kind of game.
So I'd like the Wii to take the step forward to where they are in a few years. But
I'm with you there, man. I'm totally with you.
To me, The Godfather is a step backwards. That world doesn't look good at all.
No, it doesn't. That's really the main knock against that game, is that the city is just not terribly compelling.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to see is something like Sony and Microsoft will be taking a step forward in graphics, but it won't be like the massive step that they've taken forward this generation. It'll be, you know, it'll be a baby step, and there'll also be more in terms of shifting, new controls. Microsoft's really big into community stuff, and I think, you know, that community stuff is something that really brings people together, and I think it's, you know, probably Xbox Live is easily the biggest selling point of the Xbox 360.
Sure. What Microsoft's been able to do is actually make all those extra features that Sony wanted to make for the PS2, the DVD player, music playing, and then they introduced MP3 playing. They put all that in with the system because it's an online community. You can play your music during games. They
integrate it. Hardwired in there. Like,
you can download
Xbox,
that stuff.
It wasn't, but now it is.
Yeah. So by doing so, you make the Xbox 360 into a machine that doesn't just do all that stuff. It makes it fun to do all that stuff.
Yeah, it's highly
personalized. That's why it's a good machine.
Hey, there's another angle on this. What do you guys think about the new generation of Wii that's supposed to have DVD playback? I mean, isn't that kind of related to what he's asking about?
To me, that's a step backwards.
I mean,
because that's just saying
it's something that's nice.
He wants to know what the. Go ahead, Mike.
It might move a couple more units, but you know, by the time that thing comes out, really, I mean, everyone has a DVD player, so it's just like. Yeah. Why do I need this?
Kind of overkill.
Do you guys really think, though, that Nintendo will release a new version and that's the only new feature on it?
I think
they're probably going to be throwing in a couple other things. Because just the DVD playback alone is not going to convince anybody that it's, I didn't want a Wii before, but now that it plays movies.
But I don't know if they even will release another a real revision. Okay, it makes sense for a handheld because, you know, I've got my handheld and, you know, I can put my games in my handheld, and it's the same game no matter whose handheld I put it in. But if I get rid of my Wii, I lose everything that was on my Wii when I replace it.
Yeah,
I know. But you know, this is confirmed. I mean, they haven't talked about it since last year.
But I think they could have just
been... The DVD version of Wii is supposed to come out by the end of 2007.
I don't think they'll be adding any other... Like, they won't be adding any features that are actually going to, you know, segment the market. Like, that's
guys, they said
foolish.
It was going to happen. That doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. I think that it could have been something where they were testing the waters, and the lackluster response means that what's going to happen is it'll be Japan only, like the queue. And that's probably what it'll be.
Well, if my Wii Play DVD movies, I would use it for that.
I wouldn't.
Because it's very portable.
My Xbox scales them up, so...
Okay, well, I don't have anything that would scale them up anyway, but my Wii already has component cables going through it. It looks a lot cooler than my DVD player, and I could just kind of do it all on the same box. I could free up some more cables on my TV, and I would totally use it if it did that, but it's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah, no one's going to run out and upgrade their Wii just for DVD playback.
Yeah. Well, I know some people who would, but they're not right.
We're really just running the clock up here, so I think it's time to shut down this listener mail question. That's a lot of talk about the future. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the news, so hang in there.
Are you looking for reviews, previews perhaps, impressions of the latest games? Maybe a special or two. Well, you can find it at NintendoReport.com. The leading source of coverage in the Nintendo field. You know, when we're not basking in our own glory, we often make this podcast, Radio Free Nintendo, so you know we're all about quality. That's right, everyone, we've done more on this planet than anyone in history ever. See you at the site.
Okie doke, folks, and we're back for the news. First up, Raving Rabbids 2 has been announced by Ubisoft. Not so surprising.
Because who cares?
Really well.
A lot of one cares. A lot of my friends who seemingly loved that game and obviously had never played WarioWare will be very happy.
Well, I think that if they fix a lot of the things that were wrong with the first one, then it could be pretty good. For example, the menu navigation.
Oh, it's the worst menu ever.
Could be much better.
How about the games where you're shaking the controller frantically for like 2 minutes straight?
Oh, for running? Yeah, that has to go.
Yeah.
How about we get rid of all the games that, except for the first-person shooter one, there was nothing good there.
Oh, I love those where you shoot the plunger.
The dancing games, not very good, and they're okay, but they could have been a lot better.
I like the dancing games.
They could have been a lot better.
No.
I like the dancing games.
I want Dance Dance Revolution with a dance pad and two things in my hands that go up, down, left, right, and so you look like a total queer the whole time.
Evan, that's coming out this year, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's called Dance Dance Revolution Hottest Party.
Yeah.
Where have I been? Where have I been for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, where have you been?
Not on the podcast.
Well, speaking of rhythm, Guitar Hero 3, details, wireless guitars, and a song list. I'm just going to go one by one here. Feel free to comment. Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones.
Woot, woot.
Yeah. Share Brock by Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes, please.
Silence.
What? Yeah. Screw you, Evan. It's the Smashing Pumpkins. What are you, like, retarded or something?
No, I just don't like the Smashing Pumpkins.
I don't either, Evan. But look, it's this list will go a lot better if we just keep quiet about the bands that we don't like.
Yeah. Okay.
Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. The Metal by the D.
Could have been a lot better. Could have been a lot better choice for a Tenacious D song, I think.
Yeah.
What
sure.
about the song?
Tribute.
I want like the next Karaoke Revolution or Rock Band to have that Tenacious D song where he sings in backwards.
Inward singing is good stuff.
Next up, My Name is Jonas by Weezer.
Thank you, God.
What? I don't know this song, but why don't they have Say It Ain't So?
I'm surprised it's not Buddy Holly. If you know,
yeah, no, but Say It Ain't So is like a good guitar song.
Well, if you know, My Name is Jonas has this really catchy,
Jonas is pretty good too.
Has a really catchy acoustic intro, and I think, but it's pretty like just listening to it, you can tell it's going to be one of the easier songs in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this next one is really my favorite of the list, which is Knights of Cydonia by Muse.
Yeah, that song
is
freaking amazing.
I've never heard of it.
It's a mini masterpiece by Muse. It's one of the best songs they ever wrote. So.
I've never even heard of Muse.
Muse is, Muse is grandiose post-apocalyptic European rock.
Like it's Europe?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're British.
English. They're English, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean like Europe, the band
No. It's kind of like Radiohead, but a lot harder.
Yeah,
it's a hard rock Radiohead, and they're all classically trained. So one of their songs is actually a remake of Ave Maria on their new album, and others. He sings the most amazing falsetto. It's like classical music meets hard rock.
And their guitar
it's
player
really
can
great.
Shred.
Oh gosh!
Seriously,
I'm open to it, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our next one is Rock and Roll All Night, As Made Famous by Kiss.
That's a cover.
I'm gonna hate it when I bring it over to my mom's house and that's all she plays, because she'll do it.
I just want to interject that, because this one says As Made Famous by Kiss, that kind of implies that all the songs that you've mentioned before this one are actually going to have the original recordings.
That's
awesome.
And not sound-alike.
Yeah,
re-recording.
So that's cool. I mean, that's half the list that they have on here. It kind of gives you an idea maybe that This game's gonna have a lot of
Guitar Hero's gotten a lot
Guitar
bigger.
Guitar Hero 2 had like 3.
Yeah,
right. Okay, next up, School's Out, As Made Famous by Alice Cooper.
Word.
Slow Ride, As Made Famous by Foghat.
I don't know that at all.
I don't
You've
know that
it.
Either. Actually,
it's good.
Okay,
maybe.
Yeah, Slow Ride is like classic rock trash. Like you turn on any classic rock station, listen for 30 minutes, you'll hear it.
Yeah,
it's an okay song.
Okay.
Next one, "Cult of Personality" by Living Colour.
That's a good song.
Which is an okay song.
Yeah.
All right, song. And last up, "Barracuda" made famous by Heart.
Another good choice.
If I never hear that again, it'll be too soon.
I'm with Carl on this one. Heart. Actually, the song that Heart had on Guitar Hero 2
was
one
it "Tattooed Love Boys."
That
that's a really good. No, it was crazy.
No, that's
crazy.
That's something else. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, and it's so weird, and it's so hard to play, but it's really cool. I like that one a lot.
Oh, yeah, that opening acoustic guitar portion, it's cool.
Yeah,
This song list right here is already massive, and it's like, what, maybe 10 songs? And the final game is probably going to have something closer to like 40, you know, licensed or, you know, licensed tracks, and then plus bonus tracks. If this is a small sampling, and they've said they're holding some of the big boys out, like, what are we going to see? Like, you know?
It's going to be great. It's
a really good list.
This is amazing.
It's
a really good list. For a sample list, this is amazing.
But here's the question. Really, are there going to be differences between the multiple versions? Obviously, you're going to have downloadable content with a 360 one, and they're going to rape you for it. But
They've said downloadable content will be available, but they haven't said on what platforms, so who knows?
Yeah.
They probably won't.
Well, it could be PS3, too.
They did say that the Wii would have downloadable content, will happen.
No, they said downloadable content will be available for the game. They didn't say for what systems.
No, they said it would be on Wii. I already distinctly remember it.
They did confirm that the Wii will have online play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is very good. All the versions will have online play. All the versions will have wireless guitars. We don't know yet if the Wii version is going to have just a shell, so maybe that'll be cheaper. But at least we know it'll be wireless.
I don't think there's any reason for them to make a separate shell, because that doesn't, to me, doesn't make any sense, because popping the Wii remote in is just going to make the top heavy, and all that would add is the accelerometer. Well, why would you put it in the bottom? What's it needed for?
Because it would make the top heavy. And then
it has all the wireless transmitters and the tilt axis.
I don't think that would be beneficial, because you still have to have everything else in there going.
Besides, dude, the Wii remote isn't that heavy.
You're right, it's not that heavy.
So. Let me get back to downloadable content. Carl, I really don't see how you can think there'd be downloadable content when the system has half a gig of storage in it.
I know. You can download it directly to the SD card, and then you can play the songs off the SD card, just like you can in Excitruck, which came out in November!
Yeah, but that's a lot of work to do when not everyone's going to be able to do it right off the bat.
It almost makes sense.
It
can't be happening.
It's not a lot of work to do. It's not.
I want Carl to prove that he actually read
There's no mention of it. There's definitely no mention of it.
It's somewhere on Gab.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Credibility shot.
The repository of all gaming knowledge.
It was a press release that was posted.
It's the same press release I posted on our site, and it says downloadable content, but it does not say for which systems.
It's coming, relax.
Anyway, whatever, I'm going to get the 360 version anyway.
It's coming, relax.
Anyway, so next up, Geometry Wars coming to Wii and DS. Which is cool. It's going to be developed by Kuju, who you will know from Battalion Wars.
Battalion Wars is okay, but...
I want to know how they're going to get it to work on Wii.
I mean, they're just porting.
Like, it seems like... I don't know. Like, how are you going to do this on Wii? DS makes sense.
How do you do it on the 360?
Dual analog sticks.
I haven't played Geometry Wars, but I think I know how it works. And, I mean, couldn't you pretty easily just, control the ship with the D-pad and your shots with the...
But then you don't have, like, a... Doesn't seem that, because it's not perfect control.
Why couldn't you do that?
Because you can only fly.
They need to let you hook two nunchucks up together.
Yeah.
And so you can just go
tie them together.
Or you could use the classic controller.
Yes.
Or
classic controller would work.
Easily.
On the DS, it makes sense.
Yeah, classic controller.
You fly with the D-pad and shoot with the touchscreen.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, if you can do that, then you can do it with the Wii remote and the nunchucks.
But it seems like shooting with the Wii remote seems like it'd be really hard, because you have no center point that you can just let go and go back to.
That's true. He's got a point.
No, I'm not talking about pointing. I'm talking about using the D-pad to move your guy and using the joystick to point where you're shooting.
So
like
switching everything left and right?
So you have the
Wii remote in your left hand?
Or hold the Wii remote in your left hand.
It might be weird. And they're also trying to do a single-player campaign, right? That's weird.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're adding a lot of features to it, and they can make it a fully-fledged out game, but hopefully it's not something that's, like, really cheap for $50. If it's not a lot of game, they'll make it 40 or 30. I'd like to see some lower-priced Wii titles.
I hope this is a downloadable game for 10.
Doubt it.
It could be.
Doubt it.
It's possible.
Shut down, Johnny.
But doubt it.
Well, I guess wait until E3, right? We'll see if Nintendo really does have an actual download structure.
Wait until Space War.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, keep waiting.
That's Nintendo's answer for everything. Next up on our news docket is the Smash Brothers site has relaunched and will have daily updates. So far, we've seen a new item, which is the Gooey Bomb.
They're pretty pathetic daily updates, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, at least they're every day.
So but they're fun.
If you look at it, like as a weekly update, and you just look at what they've given you in 1 week,
no, it's not
bad.
It's not. But like today,
hey Mike, they're gonna have daily updates for the next 200 days.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff up there by the time the game comes
out. One of the first ones was that list of music that they were using in the game, including music from Chrono Trigger and a bunch of other Square games.
Well, no.
So,
using music from Evan, Chrono Trigger, Evan.
Well,
you're misinterpreting
from
there,
the composer
Evan.
Of
right.
those games.
Yeah. Which is totally different.
And they made a point to say which games they composed for.
They said
classic Nintendo games.
They were just showing the composer's pedigrees by listing what games they had worked on.
But why would you get that many composers for a game when previously we had a game that was composed by one person and he just took music from all the other sources?
Because they said
why would you get fresh original
takes on all these different songs.
Okay, sure, I believe it. I think I'm revealing too much by listing this. I don't think that you can talk it down. It's pretty big. It doesn't guarantee that we're getting all those characters, but it means that something's
Chrono
up.
Chrono and Smash Brothers confirmed.
Right.
Actually, I think Magus would be a much better choice.
Magus would be great.
Yeah.
And so would Frog. Actually,
Frog would be awesome.
Frog would be so cool, but we've got too many characters with swords in Smash Brothers already.
Nah.
What do you mean, nah? Well, you just got Pit and Meta Knight added to the list.
Roy and Marth are not both coming back.
I hope not.
About that.
So, yeah.
And I could do without Young Link, personally.
Yeah,
what?
Me too.
No. They better keep Young Link as a character.
I wish they would exchange Young Link with
I think that's what we'll do. We'll get Link and we'll get Zelda Link, which would be much better.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll go first.
Here's a question. We still don't know what's going on with controls on this. I really think that it'll be a real step backwards for them if they have a game controlled by the classic controller or the GameCube controller only, because neither of those come with the Wii.
There will be a Wii control setting, but nobody will use it.
Yeah.
It won't be very good.
Yeah.
Well, they had better do something, because what's the point of making a new controller that's the future of gaming? I've said this on the podcast before. When your flagship game, the biggest selling game you've ever made, doesn't use it.
Who cares? How about they pack in a classic controller with the game?
They could do that.
That would be awesome.
They could do that.
$60.
You know, I mean, Evan, I said this once in an editorial, that when they make these improvements to controllers, there's always one factor where it won't work for a certain genre. For example, I think that an analog stick is stupid for 2D fighters. I don't think it works at all.
That's true.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
there you go.
Look, this is like saying that just because you can't play DDR without the dance pad, that it's not worth making a new system that doesn't come with a dance pad.
Yep.
It's just, I mean, it's always going to happen. You can't build one controller that works for everything.
Anymore, yeah.
But
I mean,
Smash Brothers,
so far, I'm impressed with how many games. And look, you know, Smash Brothers will have a control scheme for the Wii Remote, and I'm sure some people will like playing it that way. It'll probably be similar to what they're doing with Mortal Kombat. But I think the hardcore people who are familiar with the earlier games in the series are probably going to want to play it with a GameCube or a classic controller, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the same thing they've done with... should have done with Metal Slug, and they did do with, you know, a lot of these other games that were ported up from older systems. And that's fine. Agreed. That's what the classic controller is for. That's why it has the word classic in the name. That's why it has two joysticks, even though none of the systems on Virtual Console had two joysticks.
I just think that it's a really risky place to be, because Smash Brothers could be changed, could be made into a really amazing new game with new controls, and I think if you make it... Yeah, which is what they're probably going to do, because they already said, just hold on to your GameCube controllers.
No, I mean, they could botch it with Wii controls, and then no one would like it, and they could ruin the franchise's strength.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because I think they're making it an option, and that is the safest and most fair thing to do.
It can't hurt. Except some people are going to
bitch that,
they
had done that for Zelda.
You're playing with Wii controls, you're so lame, or something like that, but whatever.
Hey. Yeah, but I mean, Evan, they're not launching a GameCube version of Brawl alongside it,
I know.
So that doesn't really matter.
I know,
and Evan,
they should
have done it for Zelda. They should have.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're with me on that.
And now they're doing it. So this is actually an improvement on Zelda. So
quit
bitching about it.
Yeah. All right, and
the Smash Brothers site.
Yeah, go ahead.
Today's update was Pit's special moves, but they only listed two of them. Like, they're really parsing out content in very, very small pieces here.
Yeah.
Hey, but, and also before we move off of Smash Brothers, Johnny, have you ever on the podcast told your story about going to that secret conference at, or not secret, but exclusive conference on the first day of E3 about Super Smash Brothers?
Last year?
Yeah.
We should tell that story. It's a good story. One.
It was fun.
A good story about how they asked about characters.
Tell it.
Well, Nintendo, it was one of those situations where we heard pretty late that Nintendo kind of threw this event together at the last minute because they weren't sure that people like Sakurai could show up to it. They weren't sure if they could get him over to E3 to do it. So they threw it together very late. You know, I heard about it from different people. I called my people at Nintendo, and I was like, you better get me into this thing. And they're like, don't worry, we were about to call you, whatever. So I showed up there. It was like the afternoon of the first day of E3. So this was after the day after their press conference when they announced most of their games. And everybody at the press conference was like, where's Smash Brothers? And then Nintendo is having this super elite, secretive thing the first day of E3 after the show closes. And, you know, we all figured that's probably what they were going to do was show Smash Brothers, but we really didn't know. And so they show they bring us all in there, and they're like, okay, here you go, and they show us the trailer, and it's all amazing. And then they bring in Sakurai, at that point, we were all worried that Sakurai was not going to be working on the game. So that's kind of when we learned about how they brought him back in, and... He answered a lot of questions from the audience, and you know, of course, that trailer showed Solid Snake.
Well, I think
so they had
the great thing
there.
About that trailer is that it sort of like ends, and then there's a couple seconds of silence, and then like the Metal Gear stuff comes up. So you think the first time you see it, like, well, I'm sure what you thought when you were there is that they were announcing a new Metal Gear Solid game.
Which,
but then, like, you know,
is terrible.
15 seconds in, they mentioned Smash Brothers, and I'm sure everyone went like, "What the hell?"
Yeah,
I wasn't all that shocked when they showed Smash Snake being in Smash Brothers because he was already in Dream Mix TV Fighters, so it was pretty natural to me. It didn't really surprise me at all. I think it's a really good choice, though. I mean, it's awesome. And
but what did Shigeru Miyamoto?
A lot of questions and what?
Shigeru Miyamoto had that opening thing where he asked about characters, though. That was the part of the story that I liked.
What do you mean?
He asked go ahead.
Yeah, they were asking what characters we would like to be in the game, and people started literally shouting out. Actually, no, what happened was he asked, and then there was this pregnant pause, and he's waiting for... He actually, it wasn't rhetorical. He wanted someone to say a character that we wanted to be in the game. And I was in the front row. I was sitting by Chris Kohler and Tycho from Penny Arcade. And I waited like 10 seconds. I'm like, is somebody going to say the obvious? So I shout out, Sonic! And everybody kind of erupted in approval, you know. And he's like, well, we'll have to see.
All right, we'll have to see.
Sonic isn't in this game. It's actually going to be a bigger surprise than if he is.
Yeah.
And
Sonic...
I don't even really care. I mean, I don't even like Sonic as a character. It was just such an obvious answer, and somebody had to say it, and I was like, fine.
If Sonic isn't in the next Smash Brothers, it's going to be like when one of those European countries loses the World Cup, and there's riots and people die. That's what's going to happen.
When one of those European countries wins the World Cup.
Either wins or loses.
Okay.
Well, we got one more news story, so let's get to that, I guess. Fox acquires the film rights to The Sims, right? And it's going to be written by Brian Lynch, who you might know or might not know because he wrote Norbit and Aragon.
Wow.
Thanks for bringing us down at the
end. Yeah. Okay, I want to call it out right now. The Sims as a movie will suck because it won't have anything to do with the game at all.
Isn't that kind of par for the course with video game movies?
Sure, but that's one of the things that they're. I like the idea. I haven't actually seen Doom, but I like the idea of a first person segment in Doom.
Oh, it sucked.
It's a cool idea, though. To try and make it like, you know, trying to merge games and movies to say that the elements of the game that are unique narrative elements are going to be in the movie. But what they do is they end up saying, okay, well, we're going to give a backstory and we're going to create all this plot and it's going to fit into the mold of a suspense or a horror film, and then it goes to crap. So The Sims, it'll be a drama, or it'll be a comedy about these crazy people. It won't be anything like The Sims at all.
The Sims don't even speak English.
Yeah.
They speak, what do they speak?
Simlish.
What's the money called? Simillions or something?
Simoleons.
I used to read it as Samoans. It was kind of good.
Like, trading some cookies. It, like, costs five. Costs five Samoans in order to buy that couch.
And that's that. So... I don't think any, really, any of us really have anything to say about
no,
the movie.
No, because
so.
Who cares?
Not really.
That's not even going to happen, I'll bet. I'll bet it'll like go the way
that,
of,
yeah, that,
of
that
all those canceled movies.
That could go into hell and just disappear entirely, I think.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, because they announced that it's being written. They're going to pay this guy a little cash. He's going to put in the first draft. They're going to be like, this sucks. They'll send it to a couple other guys, and then it'll die.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Evan. That's a real downer.
Or not.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the recent Nintendo Media Summit and how it might affect this year's E3, so stay tuned.
Oh, hey, it's an IM from Johnny. I wonder what it says. What? A new trailer for Metroid Prime 3? I'm gonna click on this and watch it all the way through.
We're no stranger love. You know the rules, and so do I. Four commandments, what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just wanna tell you how I'm feeling. Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. We've known each other for so long. Your heart's been aching. You're too shy to say. Inside we both know what's going on. We know the game and we're gonna play it. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
I don't know what that's about at all. Honestly, I'm just confused. Oh wait, there's more to the video.
Good evening, this is Rick Astley. Sorry, but our princess is another castle. You've been Rickrolled.
Rickrolled? Rickrolled?
No.
Alright everybody, we're back for our feature. Recently, Nintendo had a Nintendo Media Summit, which isn't that surprising because they are Nintendo. and they discussed lots and lots of stuff, including their summer release list. There are a bunch of games here, I'm just going to go through them quickly.
Just
July
30th,
you've
ones.
Got... I'm only going to talk about the big ones. I'm not going to talk too much about Nancy Drew. first up, we've got July 30th, Mario Strikers Charged.
Which is already out in
Which
Europe,
is cool.
Right?
I've
heard people talking about it.
It's already out in Europe, and it's gotten some pretty good buzz, actually. A lot of people seem to like it.
Penny Arcade
it seems
liked
to be much
lot.
Improved.
Yeah, so. Pale didn't
I don't know,
like
Vinny,
it, though.
I reviewed the first one for us, and I thought it was pretty damn good. I mean, it was fun. This one looks even better.
I never played it. I think it just kind of came out so late on GameCube.
It did.
And plus it's
saturated with Mario Sports.
It's got great cover art, though, but, you know, soccer?
Oh, yeah.
Boring.
Very good art. But after Mario Strikers on August 20th, I think is really the big one, and that's Metroid Prime 3 Corruption.
Yes,
which makes Johnny happy.
That's nice, but it comes out the day before BioShock, so I'm gonna drop like almost $130 in 2 days.
Yeah,
I really don't think BioShock is much of a threat to Metroid.
No,
Prime 3.
Well, it's a different audience, but it looks like an
BioShock
amazing game.
BioShock is gonna be amazing.
It looks like.
Period.
It's going to be incredible.
But I think Metroid will actually sell better than BioShock.
Oh, yeah.
BioShock's more of a niche audience, though, yeah. So.
Hmm. But, Johnny, I know you were looking at the Metroid Prime 3 screenshots, and you were maybe not so impressed.
Yeah, well, most of these games didn't... Nintendo didn't release any new media for them last week. But they did, for some reason, release 5 new screenshots of Metroid Prime 3, and they are some of the worst screenshots I've ever seen. Holy crap, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
I know the game does not look that bad. It didn't look that bad a year ago. It can't look that bad now. Somebody just did a... Ooh,
you picked the worst stuff to show.
Yeah, I mean,
they added the fun shading.
Terrible job of capturing screens.
There's some new characters though in one of those shots, and that looks pretty cool.
No, that's terrible. That's part of why they're terrible.
Oh, really? Explain, Johnny.
It's one of the hunters, isn't it?
I'm really not thrilled at all about this game having like 20 new characters in the story.
You like it to be the isolated type.
Yeah, I mean, did you see what they did with the Luminoth in the last game? It really was an interesting experiment, but they really should have learned from that and said, maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. It was so awkward. It just doesn't belong in the game. I mean, I'm glad that they tried it.
But it was like the ghost of a Luminoth.
No, there were Luminoth in it, too. There were live Luminoth in the ending.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Not a good idea. I mean, I hope I'm proven wrong, because we haven't seen the game in a year. But
you know,
and
those could
be,
you know, some of the bosses for all we know.
Yeah. Well, hey, what about this? What if those hunters and Samus are all sent to an island and they all have to fight when they're all televised? So whoever lives, so,
like one of them's given a frying pan and the other one gets a baseball bat with a nail through it.
That'd be great, though.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Seriously, why haven't they made a game based on Battle Royale?
Make it an MMO, too.
Why?
It would be an incredible MMO. Yeah. I mean, if you split it up into 20-person servers. Yeah.
And you've got one life.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. Awesome. That'd be sweet. So, but okay, we missed another game that was on the Nintendo DS list, or have we not gone to DS
yet?
We're
just going through Wii first.
We're gonna stick to Wii first.
Okay, because we're not talking about DS. But Battalion Wars 2... That's good news that at least it's not a remake. That came through a few months ago.
Same day as Halo.
Oh, yeah, that'll take care of that.
Yeah, I know. I think I pulled up one of the ones that doesn't have the exact date, but yeah, it is the same day as Halo.
What game are you guys talking about?
Exactly.
Halo's going down. They don't know what's going to hit them.
Battalion Wars 2 is
because, you know, those action strategy games based on GameCube hardware, absolutely, yeah.
It's coming.
That one's online, though.
It is. I'm going to buy it, or at least I'm going
to
review it.
Yeah, I can't wait to have a whole notebook filled with my friend codes for online Wii games,
too. If we want to switch gears for a second, there's a rumor going around that, according to one of the developers of Mario Strikers Charge, who I guess, you know, since their game has online, he was saying something like the friend code is actually tied to your individual me, so it would be the same friend code for all your different games, as long as you use the same me.
Okay.
Sort of like a gamer tag, almost.
So there is still going to be a separate friend code that's not your Wii code?
I guess.
Because that's dumb.
I know, you know what?
You've got a Wii code.
Video,
yes.
What I just said could be complete and utter BS, so please take it with a grain of salt.
The friend code for Mario Strikers and Pokemon and probably Battalion is separate from your Wii system code. Well, I don't understand why it would be tied to your Mii character when you don't actually use your Miis in Mario Strikers or Pokemon.
Yeah.
Or Battalion.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, saving profile data.
Why does Nintendo have to screw this stuff up so much? I don't understand.
I know that.
Pedophiles.
Big Brain Academy, Wii Degree, which comes out in June, does something kind of like Elebits. It actually pulls your friends list from your Wii system code, so you don't have to. Of course, it doesn't have online play exactly.
It's just trading.
It has online leaderboards.
Thank God it has
like
those.
That.
And you trade stuff.
Yeah, and so you're not like directly interacting with the other people, and maybe that's the difference right now, but it just pulls the list up from your system codes, and it shows you who has the game and who doesn't, and so it just automatically does all that stuff, and apparently that works super well. So maybe by the end of the year they'll kind of start to integrate these systems and all games. Maybe, in other words, maybe this is kind of growing pains,
right?
Or wishful thinking. But maybe by the end of the year, everything will just use your system code. And
someone in Nintendo just needs
codes.
To pull their head out of their ass. That's
we're
all there is to it. They're not going to because they always say, we're going
to
do it different and we're going to do it better. And then sometimes they do
and
sometimes they don't. And this is one of those cases. Yeah. Yeah. And it's dumb.
I don't see how this is either. Safer, though, because you've already gone through all the hassle of actually having to know someone in order to get their system code. I don't see how it makes it safer to require another code on top of
that. Right, one code should be enough.
True.
It's just bureaucracy.
All that it's making us safer from, all that it's protecting us from, is playing their game, really, is all it is. They just want to make sure that people don't actually get to the online features. And it's no wonder that people didn't know that the GameCube could go online, because Nintendo just does not care about online. Games go online and they don't make a big deal out of it. They don't make a big deal out of their service.
Like, that's why
they
Halo
talk
is
it
so
down
big now,
and
because dude, the online component is amazing.
Online only. Yeah.
Well, speaking of online, on August 14th, Madden NFL 08's coming out and it's going to be online.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for bringing that up.
We also have another Tiger Woods game coming out in August. The last one was out in March for Wii.
Yep.
So I've heard that the Wii version is like pretty good, but if you haven't already bought it, you probably want to wait another couple months.
Yeah,
to get the new
definitely.
One.
Yeah, because they're going to update his facial animations. He'll be sweating this time in the game. It's definitely going to be worth the update.
Also in September, the new Brothers in Arms for Wii comes out, so that might be worth it.
We still don't really know much about that.
Yep. Don't really. And then shifting over to the DS, Picross. I know a lot of people like that game.
Never came out in America.
July 30th.
Never come out in America.
Ever.
Not before this.
This one I'm kind of excited about. Brain Age 2 More Training in Mint's Day comes out on August 20th, same day as Metroid Prime 3. I wonder which one I'll be playing.
Hey, different markets, though. From the title, it says More Training in Minutes a Day. Maybe that means that you can play it for additional minutes per day. Like instead of there being 5 minutes of gameplay each day, maybe now you can play it for 8 minutes a day before it says you've had enough.
Please put this game down and stop playing it. I love that.
Well, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of.
No, that's how it works. That's why I didn't keep.
You know,
the
there's
first
a game.
One. That's why
there's a game
it
that's
you.
Not on this list. I guess because, it comes out in June, which I guess isn't considered. You know, wasn't in this part of the media briefing, but Planet Puzzle League was at the media briefing. But it's not on this list because it comes out like June 4th or something.
Isn't that just Puyo Puyo?
Whatever.
Isn't that just... It's just Puyo Puyo,
no,
isn't it?
Panel de Pawn.
Yes.
It's Tetris Attack.
Whatever.
Panel de Pawn.
Best puzzle game ever.
Whatever.
I'm seeing a game here that I don't recognize. Maybe you guys can refresh my memory on this one. DK Jungle Climber?
I think that's King DK... whatchamacallit 2. Yeah. King of Swing 2. Yeah, they showed
it.
It's
got to be a name change, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, the next one.
Chibi Robo, Park Patrol.
Oh, gosh, it was so good at E3. It was so good.
You're the only one who cares.
Okay, in the demo, they didn't have him have, he didn't have a battery, so it may be that he's like, it's possible that was just for the demo, but it's also possible that was for the, that's the way the game works now, and that you still get to go around and do stuff and collect the happy points. There were some cool DS functions in the thing. There were lots of new items. Daniel actually got to a part where you got to get on a bike and ride across the street.
Awesome.
And eventually I think he even said you get in a car. So, just some awesome stuff.
Hey,
I am so excited.
Since the game takes place outside, maybe he's solar powered now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Boktai Returns.
No, I don't mean that the game has like a solar sensor in it. I mean that maybe they just kind of got rid of the whole battery thing because
it's possible cuz at the end of Chibi Robo. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Well, the next game I know John is going to be excited about, Drake and Josh on the DS.
Yeah.
Oh, you skipped over
now with shorter passwords.
SimCity is
going to
be a pretty big game.
Oh, yeah, SimCity.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be great on DS. I'll get that.
And that's a new version of SimCity. That's not a port of the original.
Yeah. And guys, but wait, August 14th, High School Musical making the cut?
Mm-hmm.
Who else is with me?
We're
going
to skip that one.
I don't care about that one, but I think the Wii version actually might be a big deal. Actually, probably both of them will be.
There'll be big
deals
in sales numbers for sure.
Yeah, maybe.
The Wii version comes with a microphone.
But apparently it's USB or something. Or maybe that's what EA was talking about. That's so lame. I don't want a USB cable stringing out the back of my Wii when they could have just plugged the damn thing into my remote.
I know, that's the way it should be. But USB is cheaper.
Retarded.
It's not
completely retarded.
Well, we've also got
it has a long cord.
Shouldn't need to have a cord.
What's the buzz on What's the buzz on Heroes of Mana, though?
Bad.
Heard it's not that good. I heard it's not that good.
They haven't made a good Mana game since Legend of Mana, really.
I don't know. I think, you know, actually, I've heard that Heroes is good. It's a real-time strategy game, and I've heard it's a lot like Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings, but actually it has more features.
Oh?
Hmm.
So, oh, I don't know. I haven't played it, but I think maybe we're going to get to learn more about that from Square soon.
That'll be cool.
All right, well, just going down this list, there's really not that much else worth mentioning. Luminous Arc, the Mega Man Star Force games.
Worms.
Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations, that might be cool.
Operation Vietnam. I look forward to them desecrating that conflict on the DS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Glory Days 2, I don't remember the first one, but okay. And, yeah, that's basically a lot of release dates. But, yeah, I'm not going to really go through some entire
the actual, you know, media summit.
The actual conference. I think Billy Berkhammer was interviewing Perrin Kaplan, and he told her right to her face that it was really a wasted opportunity because Sony had their big Gamers Day, was it last week?
Blew the doors off stuff, you know.
Or 2 weeks ago? Yeah, they had everything.
But, you know, we got to think, what are they going to have in E3?
And then Microsoft, of course, had the Halo 3 beta party.
What's Sony going to have to reveal in E3? Microsoft still has a whole bunch of stuff they can reveal. I mean, they've talked about Halo 3, but the game's coming out in September. So, they still...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they'll reel out Halo 3, they'll reel out Mass Effect.
And talked about but Sony's blown their entire load for the rest of the year, and it's not even E3 yet.
Yeah, but if I were Sony, I would do that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely.
They need some kind of momentum. They need some good word of mouth right now.
Plus, E3 doesn't mean the same thing anymore.
Well, I think Billy's point is that E3 is a fine time to announce things, but when you wait and hold everything until E3, which is basically what Nintendo's doing, you have to compete with all those other announcements, and things get diluted. I mean, this last week, there really was not a ton of big news. And if Nintendo really wanted to get some press for something, they could have done it there. Now, obviously, what Nintendo wanted to get press on was their casual games coming out this summer.
Because that's what this was, except for like Mario Strikers.
And Mario Strikers. That's basically what the lineup was. Mario Strikers and a bunch of casual games. And the problem there is that they invited a lot of basically fanboy type media, you know, game magazines and stuff like that. So those people don't
They should have had like USA Today, Time, Newsweek, Slate, you know, general publications.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I'm sure they were there too.
They might have been. No.
No.
Yeah, probably.
They weren't.
They weren't
really
foolish.
No.
Then
that's not what I heard.
Yeah.
Well, but Nintendo again, they'll always hide behind their hubris, and they will say that they are they're doing it their way, and that this is the way they want it to be. And they'll say, oh, but wait, it'll happen. And you know, they did this with Zelda the last E3, where they showed it to us, sure, but they just didn't show us enough. And they had stuff out there, but they still didn't give us the day and the date of the Wii or even the cost. So they always.
I think those things had not been decided at that point.
Probably not, and that's why it ended up being 250 instead of 200 because it was hot at E3.
Yeah,
that
was part of the thing they were doing. They were trying to judge it, especially you know they don't want to announce anything when Sony hasn't even announced their price yet. You know, Sony comes out at $600.
And when they did, it was they were laughing.
Sony comes out with a $600 system. Nintendo can very easily place themselves at 250 and still get a really good deal.
Oh yeah.
You know if. What I don't get is if this event last week was focused on the casual games, and I think that's a justifiable approach to it. I'm not sure that they had the right people there to cover it that way, but I think they should be flaunting that stuff. I just don't understand why they focus so much on the games that are coming out in the next month or two when they could have given a hint of things like Wii Music and Wii Health Pack and maybe Wii Sports 2 if it's in development, and it damn well should be. To me, this would have been a good time to at least give a teaser video of some of this stuff, and that would have really complemented the stuff like Big Brain Academy and Brain Age 2 that they were showing off.
Yeah, yeah,
instead,
I agree.
You know, it's just this stuff that most of the people who were there covering the event already knew a lot about these games and probably didn't really care all that much about them in the first place.
True. Well, then, so guys, what should we expect to see
at
E3?
Smash Brothers will be there, obviously.
Yeah,
well,
obviously it's
knowing
be
Nintendo,
hardcore.
Probably not. You know, I mean, remember E3 2005 when we went there and pretty much nothing happened?
What year was 2005?
Yeah.
Right. That's because they didn't have anything.
Yeah, they're obviously working on all
yeah,
similar.
They did.
Like,
It was like Zelda and... Well, no, that was 2000. Yeah, it was Zelda and that was it.
It was Zelda.
Back in 2005, they were working on Zelda. They really weren't working on any other significant GameCube games, so they had a lot of people working on Wii stuff, which obviously they weren't ready to show yet. They didn't show that until the end of 2005, and even then they didn't show any games then.
They're going to try and make this next E3 on the strength of Metroid Prime 3. And I think that there's not going to be anything much bigger than that, unless they do something weird where they make Wii Sports
Super Mario Galaxy.
They're going to show... Yeah, they will show Mario and Smash Brothers at E3. I don't know to what extent. I don't know if everything will be playable, but it'll all be there.
Well, I mean, Mario Galaxy was playable last year.
Will be playable. I don't know that Smash will be playable, but it'll be there in some form.
I think it...
Yeah, Smash playable would be a gigantic mess of people.
But it won't be a gigantic mess of people because the way E3 is laid out now. I think Smash will probably be playable. If they're serious about getting it out this year, they'll let people play it. Even if it's one stage with, like, four characters, they'll let people play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, E3, isn't it just like Nintendo to say, wait for E3?
Wait until Tokyo Game Show.
Wait for the new E3. The new not E3. The new E3 that isn't E3.
Wait for E3, for TGS,
obviously, we're
going to
get
Leipzig.
A lot of new announcements, too, for stuff that we have, you know, no clue about. That always happens, you know. Right. They might, you know, who knows? They could show
so,
Mario
yeah,
Kart. I'm sure that's in development.
Yeah,
Mario Kart would be cool, but I hope it's not as bad as the last one.
If I could drive with the analog stick and aim projectiles at my friends with the pointer.
Evan, did you say I hope it's not as bad as the last one?
The double dash for the consoles.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. No, DS.
Are you talking about underrated?
Double Dash is overrated. Overrated.
It's not overrated by any stretch.
It's because of gameplay may be good. Bad tracks.
It has Baby Park, which is the greatest Mario track.
So does the DS version.
Some of the other ones are not so great, but if you play Mario Kart Double Dash as a co-op game through Grand Prix, it is so much fun.
No, I've done it. I've done it more than once. I've done it on all the tracks, and I am done with it. It is not that fun. DS, I could still play today. I'd pick it up right now and play it, and I love it.
I think the problem with the Mario Kart series is that they need to fix the damn battle mode, because it hasn't been good since the Super Nintendo version.
No, the N64 version was awesome.
Some people think the N64 version was it.
Block Fort.
They really need to fix the battle
Allow mode. Me to ruminate on this for a minute.
Okay. Anyway, so I think on that note, it's time to wrap up this podcast.
Sure.
Do we all agree?
No,
we're not stopping. This is a marathon.
I want to talk about Holly Hobby and Friends.
we'll have an NWR after hours, and
Johnny,
then we'll
can
have
talk
that,
about Nancy
so, all
Drew.
That discussion.
It'll be like after Oprah.
It'll be like Bill Maher. We'll take questions from the internets.
We already do that.
Yeah, but I mean, in live, you know, during live time. But,
okay,
yeah.
Carl, do your thing.
Okay, time to shill. Remember, you can find us on dig at dig.com/podcast.
click the link on the article.
I have to do it, Johnny. I have to do it. Let me do it. dig.com/podcast. That's radio_free_nintendo_mp3.
You should just include the http://www.
Yeah.
If you're going to go through all that, you know, you should just put the all whole
right.
thing in.
You can also go to iTunes, review us, and subscribe. That's always appreciated. And remember, if you want to send us your listener mail, it's rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. This is Carl Castaneda and my compatriots, the Awesome 3, Jonathan Metz, Evan Birchfield, and Mike Sklenz.
Bye, everybody.
See you next week.
Carl Castaneda.
Carl Castaneda.
What
you from, boy?
He told me he's Jewish and Hispanic.
Welcome to Miami.
We don't like your kind around here.
Go back to Russia.